Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Weekend Edition for Saturday, March 9th, 2024. Springboard Center celebrates 25 years. Planning to host conference on addiction at the Bush Convention Center March 22nd. The mission of the Springboard Center is to restore health and dignity to individuals and families by providing quality treatment and counseling for alcoholism and drug addiction. That mission has not changed in the 25 years that the center has helped to heal community members of the Permian Basin. Quote, "We do that by treating individuals holistically," end quote, said the executive director of the center, David Chancellor. Quote, "We utilize a 12-step program," end quote. The drug seen most frequently by the center's clients is alcohol. For the Permian Basin, alcohol use averages 58% of the population, while other drugs such as methamphetamines and cocaine use averages 29%. Quote, "We have a higher use of alcohol and stimulants," end quote, Chancellor said. Quote, "However, the opioid use here within the Permian Basin is lower than the national average," end quote. Chancellor noted that the Springboard Center is one of the only nationally accredited centers within the Permian Basin. Quote, "Sobriety is not advocated for," end quote, Chancellor explained during a phone interview with the Reporter Telegram. Quote, "Harm reduction is a dangerous philosophy," end quote. Currently, the center has 36 beds available for individuals that are aged 18 and above. Quote, "We work closely with Midland Memorial Hospital, and they actually played a key role in starting us," end quote, Chancellor said. Quote, "We serve clients that are indigent and paying clients as well," end quote. "Because of the immediate needs in the area, often the beds at the center are full and potential clients are turned away. However, there are plans to expand the facility within the next 2 years. Part of the celebration for marking the center's 25 years of service will be a conference dedicated to the subject of addiction. The conference on addiction will be March 22nd at the Bush Convention Center. Doors open at 8:30 a.m., and according to organizers, several well-known speakers will share their knowledge to improve community efforts in combating addiction. Quote, "We have invited every single medical doctor within the Permian Basin," end quote, said Nathan Isaacs, a business development specialist for the Springboard Center. Quote, "We have also invited local hospitals, public school counselors, social workers, and medical students from the colleges. Our goal is to help move the needle in fighting addiction," end quote. The event will be catered by the Midland Meat Company, and organizers of the conference stated that even if an individual cannot pay the registration fee, then they are still welcome to attend. Quote, "This is the first conference that we have hosted," end quote, said Joe Bell, the Director of Marketing and Development for the Springboard Center. The turnout for the conference is hoped to be between 100 and 250 individuals. Quote, "So many individuals are high in plain sight," end quote, Isaac said. Quote, "The hope for the conference is to educate so people can be aware of those that are silently crying out for help from their addiction," end quote. State Representative Brooks Landgraf highlights need for water development. While in the Permian Basin, there is, quote, water everywhere and not a drop to drink, end quote, as the Samuel Taylor Coleridge poem goes. Quote, "While we are surrounded by reserves of water, the reality is much of that water remains inaccessible," end quote, said State Representative Brooks Landgraf as he provided the luncheon keynote address at the Permian Basin Water and Energy Conference Wednesday. "The good news is this age of innovation and ingenuity is on the cusp of unlocking that inaccessible water to serve Texans for generations to come," he said. "It requires clarity, collaboration, and courage," he added. Quote, "The time is right for visionary leadership and bold action, and you represent that," end quote, he told his audience. The Odessa Republican detailed legislative efforts to promote the development of new water resources because, as he noted, 1,300 people move to Texas daily and, quote, "they don't bring water with them," end quote. Proposition 6, an amendment to the Texas Constitution that passed last November, earmarks $1 billion for the Texas Water Fund to finance essential water projects, including modernizing or replacing aging infrastructure and bolstering efforts to withstand events like drought. Many communities are using water infrastructure that was built in the post-war housing boom of the 1950s, equipment that is far beyond its useful life and will continue to break at alarmingly high rates unless it is repaired or replaced. Landgraf also detailed his efforts to pass the Texas Strong, Severance Tax Revenue in Oil and Natural Gas, Defense Fund, which passed the Texas House last year, but did not receive a vote in the Texas Senate. He vowed to reintroduce the legislation in the 2025 session. He said the fund would support the state's energy industry and communities impacted by the industry and help fund economic development, public safety, emergency response, health care, infrastructure, and education in those communities. Severance taxes from oil and gas production to three funds, general revenue, highway, and the rainy day fund. He estimated that 32 of the state's 254 counties generated 80% of those revenues. The rainy day fund is reaching its cap of $25 billion, and any additional revenues go to the other funds. His bill would put those overflow funds into the strong fund, which would be capped at $500 million a year. Any funds over that cap would go to the property tax relief fund, he said. Other regulatory actions include better defining and clarifying regulatory requirements and funding grants to West Texas counties to plug leaking water wells. The conference is an excellent example of the great collaboration needed to foster water management, he said. Quote, the technology being talked about today would have been laughed at or unheard of 10 years ago, end quote, Landgraf said. Quote, if we do this the way we're supposed to, work together to ensure that there are policies that foster water development for the future, there will be water, water everywhere, and quite a few drops to drink, end quote. Oil prices retreat from $80 in lackluster trading week. Demand fundamentals, specifically from China, weighed on crude prices, and even a brief outage on the Keystone Pipeline couldn't significantly move prices. West Texas Intermediate on the New York Mercantile Exchange fell 4 or 5 trading days, starting with a $1.23 drop Monday that pushed prices away from the $80 level. Prices managed to return over $79 a barrel with a 98-cent rise Wednesday, but then demand concerns reasserted themselves and prices retreated. WTI fell 92 cents Friday to end the week at $78.01, down from $79.97 at last Friday's close. The posted price closed at $74.49, according to Plains All American. Quote, various market factors continue to offset one another, but we remain bullish overall, end quote. Ed Longenecker, president of the Texas Independent Producers and Royalty Owners Association, told the Reporter Telegram by email. Quote, extending OPEC Plus production cuts were baked in and had no material impact on crude oil prices. China's lackluster economic recovery and soft demand outlook have been countered by growth in India and political tensions that are far from being resolved. We could see a strengthening in demand as central banks cut interest rates, with the Federal Reserve likely to follow in the second half of the year. We do not anticipate any significant change in our forecasted price range of $75 to $80 for WTI in the near term, end quote, he wrote. Natural gas futures on the NYMEX got off to a strong start as the trading week began, rising 8 cents Monday and an additional 4 cents Tuesday, before falling 3 cents Wednesday and plunging 11 cents Thursday. Futures fell an additional 1.3 cents to close the week at $1.805 per MCF, down just 3 cents from $1.835 at last Friday's close. Jack Weeksel, senior director at East Daily Analytics, attributed natural gas futures performance to two factors. First, the weekly storage numbers met consensus, but are about 50 billion cubic feet off the 5-year average withdrawal. But primarily, he told the Reporter Telegram by email, quote, bearish weather abounds. We could see a net injection for the first full week of March, which has never happened in the history of Energy Information Administration report coverage. The earliest net injection date prior to this was the week ending March 10, 2012, and March is forecast to be one of the top 5 warmest Marches since 1950, end quote. Weeksel said some modest profit-taking may have led to a sell-off as well, quote, but the weather and demand just aren't there, end quote. Local jobless rate rises to 2.6% in January. Each February, the Texas Workforce Commission conducts benchmarking revisions to its previous year's market data. Those revisions led to some significant increases in the unemployment rate among the Commission's metropolitan statistical areas, MSAs, including the Midland MSA, which includes Midland and Martin counties. The Commission reported that Midland's unemployment rate in January was 2.6%, up from 2.1% in December, but below 2.8% the previous January. Odessa unemployment was 3.5%, up from 2.9% in December, but below 3.7% in January 2023. Midland continues to post the state's lowest unemployment, followed by Amarillo at 3.1%, College Station Bryan at 3.3%, and Austin Round Rock and Lubbock at 3.4% each. Willie Taylor, Chief Executive Officer of the Commission's Workforce Solutions Permian Basin, attributed the changes not just to the adjustments, but seasonal trends, particularly with schools closed for the holidays. Midland's civilian labor force dipped to 114,923 from 115,128 in December, but is well above the 112,996 reported last January. Quote, we're still seeing strong numbers in employed, end quote. Taylor told the Reporter-Telegram in a telephone interview. The number of employed dipped to 111,974 from 112,721. The number of employed last year was 109,850. The number of unemployed Midlanders jumped to 2,949 from 2,407. Still below the 3,146 unemployed last year. Quote, what's amazing is we don't see that connection with the number of people filing for unemployment benefits, end quote, Taylor stated. Even with the adjustments, the labor market is still solid, he said, and the Permian Basin continues to need workers. Quote, the job market is still strong, end quote, Taylor said, as seen in the strong wages paid in the various industrial sectors. Natural resources and mining alone paid $1,045,310,000 in wages in the third quarter of 2023. He noted that with high school, college, and university graduations occurring in just a couple of months, quote, we should see an influx of graduates entering the workforce. I'll be looking to see how that affects our employment rate. It should be good, end quote. Midland shed 2,600 jobs from December to January for a total non-farm job count of 120,300 jobs. Trade, transportation, and utilities led with a loss of 1,000 jobs, followed by the mining, logging, and construction sectors, down 900 jobs. The leisure and hospitality and the government sectors each lost 200 jobs. The manufacturing, the professional and business services, and the private education and health services sectors each lost 100 jobs. For the 12 months from January 2023 to January 2024, Midland added 2,400 jobs, led by the government sector with 800 new jobs. Trade, transportation, and utilities added 600 jobs, while financial activities gained 400 jobs. Private education and health services grew by 300 jobs. The professional and business services sector and the leisure and hospitality sector each added 200 jobs. The other services sector added 100 jobs. The mining, logging, and construction sectors and the information sector each lost 100 jobs over the year. Statewide, the unemployment rate was 3.9%, down from 4.1% in January 2023. The state continued to set records in job increases, number of employed, and the civilian labor force. The seasonally adjusted job count rose by 18,900 to 14,053,400 jobs. The civilian labor force grew by 12,800 to reach 15,143,400, including the addition of 16,000 employed Texans over the month. While Midland reported the lowest unemployment. The highest was in McAllen, Edinburgh, Mission at 6.4%. Midland unemployment. January 2024, 2.6%. January 2023, 2.8%. Preliminary numbers for January with December numbers in parentheses. Midland 2.6, 2.1. Amarillo 3.1, 2.5. College Station Bryan 3.3, 2.6. Austin Round Rock 3.4, 3.0. Lubbock 3.4, 2.7. Odessa 3.5, 2.9. San Angelo 3.5, 2.9. Abilene 3.6, 2.9. Sherman Denison 3.7, 3.1. Waco 3.7, 3.0. San Antonio New Braunfels 3.8, 3.1. Dallas Plano Irving 3.9, 3.3. Fort Worth Arlington 3.9, 3.3. Tyler 3.9, 3.2. Wichita Falls 4.0, 3.3. Victoria 4.2, 3.4. Laredo 4.3, 3.5. Texarkana 4.3, 3.6. Houston, the Woodlands, Sugarland 4.4, 3.8. Corpus Christi 4.5, 3.7. El Paso 4.5, 3.8. Killeen Temple 4.5, 3.8. Longview 4.6, 4.0. Brownsville Harlingen 5.5, 4.8. Beaumont Port Arthur 5.9, 5.2. McAllen Edinburgh Mission 6.4, 5.8. Howard shares MISD governance goal progress bond information. Midland ISD Superintendent Dr. Stephanie Howard gave updates on the school district and shared goals for the future at a Midland Exchange Club meeting this week. Howard shared enrollment projections for the district and growth statistics. Since the last day of classes in December 2023, MISD enrollment has grown 75 students, and it has over 1,000 more students from this time a year ago, Howard shared. If the district continues to grow the way its demographic study projects, it will have over 32,000 students in the 2032-2033 school year. Quote, right now we're actually trending above the demographic study, so we're about 405 students over where the study suggested we would be this time this year. End quote, she said. Howard discussed Lone Star governance goals with the MISD board operates under. The two Lone Star governance goals are the percentage of third grade students who demonstrate grade level mastery by scoring at the meets grade level performance or above on the Reading Star assessment will increase from 36% to 50% by school year 2026. The percentage of third grade students who demonstrate grade level mastery by scoring at the meets grade level performance or above on the Math Star assessment will increase from 32% to 45% by the end of the school year 2026. Howard shared that students can, quote, approach, quote, meet, or, quote, master the STAR tests if a student scores, quote, approach, end quote, that is, still a passing score according to the state. The superintendent said the school district has made progress on these goals but still has work to do. As for the first Lone Star governance goal, 41% of third grade district students met grade level on the Reading Star assessment in 2023. The state average was 50%. 72% of district third grade students, quote, approached, end quote, grade level and still passed the Star reading assessment. The state average was 76%, factoring in those students. Quote, you don't fix anything overnight, but we should be at state level or above. We serve students. Those demographic numbers I gave you are very similar to what students across the state look like, and so that is the goal that we have, and that's what we're working on day in and day out, end quote, she said. When it came to the Math Star assessment, 38% of third grade district students met grade level in 2023. The state average was 45%. In MISD, 68% of those students at least approached grade level. The state average was 73%. Although some of the statistics are short of the state average, Howard was encouraged by growth in passing test scores during a year where the school district saw three different superintendents and 2023 being the first year of a new version of the STAR assessment. Quote, I think the fact that we saw growth, even when the test changed, is something that we're using as a baseline to build on. That's something that we can be glad that we didn't lose ground during a year with so much turnover and with the test changing, end quote, she said. The third and fourth Lone Star governance goals concern student academic growth. The percentage of fourth to eighth grade students who meet or accelerate their reading STAR progress measure will increase from 55% to 80% by the end of the school year 2026. The percentage of fourth to eighth grade students who meet or exceed their math STAR progress measure will increase from 55% to 80% by the end of the school year 2026. In 2023, the district increased from the baseline statistic of 55% in the Reading STAR progress measure to 59%. The state average was 61%. When it comes to growth on the Math STAR progress measure, 64% of students progressed in MISD and in the state, Howard shared. The last governance goal concerns graduation rates, though recent legislation may change how the district measures graduation rates, according to Howard. The four-year graduation rate will increase from 89.7% of the graduating class of 2020 to 94% for the graduating class of 2026. In 2022, 85.8% of MISD students graduated in 4 years, compared to the state average of 89.7% in the same year. Howard, who wasn't in the district until 2023, said the COVID-19 pandemic caused lots of obstacles for the class of 2022 that could have reduced graduation rates. Students also could have found a job during that period and decided to not return to school, she mentioned. Howard also shared a project timeline for the 2023 MISD bond that was approved by voters in November. In 2024, the school district wants to plan, design, and start constructing a new elementary school, as well as continuing to plan and design two new high school campuses and a new middle school, while continuing to implement district-wide safety improvements. Rig count falls for first time in 3 weeks. Drilling activity reversed course, falling for the first time in 3 weeks. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said Friday the U.S. rig count, it is issued weekly for the last 70 years, dropped 7 rigs to 622, the lowest level since February 16th. That's 124 rigs, or 16.6% below the 746 rigs reported last year. The number of rigs drilling for crude fell 2 rigs to 504 for the week, 86 less than the 590 seeking crude oil a year ago. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas fell 4 to 115, down 38 rigs from the 153 drilling for natural gas a year earlier. Texas lost 8 rigs for the week, falling to 291 rigs, 75 less than the 366 rigs active across the state last year. New Mexico added 3 rigs for 106. Louisiana, too, joined Texas as a major producing state to see a decline, while New Mexico was the only state to see an increase. The Permian Basin dropped 2 rigs for 313, 30 fewer rigs than the 343 rigs at work in the region a year ago. The Haynesville led major producing basins in a decline, falling 3 rigs. Eddy County, New Mexico, was the most active county in the Permian, jumping 4 rigs, the highest increase among Permian Basin counties, to 57 for the week. Lee County, New Mexico, was the second most active with 46 rigs, down 1 for the week. Martin County reported 36 rigs for a second week, while Loving County saw 24 rigs for a third week. Reeves County fell 2 rigs to 23. Midland County continued its winning streak for a second week, adding 1 rig for 20 rigs at work within county lines. Upton County had 19 rigs, down 1 for the week. Reagan County added a rig for 15, while Ward County dropped to 13 rigs, down 1 for the week. Culberson and Howard counties each reported 11 rigs. Kent County saw no activity for the week, having lost its 1 rig. Energy Focus Software as a Service firm Enverus said its U.S. rig count for the week ended March 1st fell 5 rigs to 671, 20% or 173 rigs below the 844 reported last year. ConocoPhillips, EOG Resources, and Occidental Petroleum remain the top three U.S. operators by rig count, with 30 rigs each. Enverus said its Permian Basin rig count was unchanged at 329 rigs, but is 11% or 39 rigs below the 368 counted last year. The Delaware Basin is the most active play, with 180 rigs, down one for the week, and down 9% or 18 rigs from 198 rigs last year. The Midland Basin is second most active, with 126 rigs, up 3 for the week, but 19 rigs or 13% below the 145 at work in the basin last year. According to Enverus, the Permian had a trailing 30-day permit count of 690 as of February 16th, down from 700 the previous week and from 702 the previous year. The Permian reported 122 frac crews as of February 16th, unchanged from the previous week but down from 144 a year earlier. MCSO issues alert for phone scams impersonating law enforcement. The Midland County Sheriff's Office alerted the citizens of Midland County to phone scams where the caller impersonates local law enforcement officers demanding money. According to the Facebook post, the Sheriff's Office stated that, quote, there are multiple versions of the scam, but the callers always identify themselves as law enforcement and demand payment in the form of gift cards, credit/debit cards, or money apps, end quote. The Sheriff's Office said the scam artists have been demanding payment for things such as a missed court date, a missed subpoena, or even an active warrant. Quote, the caller may even spoof the agency's phone number when calling so that it appears that the phone call is coming directly from the agency, end quote, said the press release. The Sheriff's Office reminds the public that no law enforcement officer will ever call and demand money via the telephone instead of an arrest. The public is advised to not be intimidated by the scam artists and not to give them any personal details over the phone. Quote, if you have any doubts, hang up and call the agency they claim to be from via an official publicized phone number, or go to the agency in person with your concerns, end quote, the press release stated. Pfluger reacts to Biden's State of the Union address. President Joe Biden gave his State of the Union address from the Capitol building on Thursday night. The State of the Union allows the president to talk about issues facing the country and offers ideas on how to solve them. Biden began the speech talking about Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin, the war between Russia and Ukraine, and said former President Donald Trump, quote, bowed down to a Russian leader, end quote. He told Congress that the United States must stand up to Putin, according to a transcript of the speech. The president then discussed the events at the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021, and claims of election fraud in the 2020 election, saying they pose the greatest threat to U.S. democracy since the Civil War. In the transcript, Biden said, quote, like most Americans, I believe Roe v. Wade got it right, and I thank Vice President Harris for being an incredible leader, defending reproductive freedom and so much more, end quote. The president said, quote, his predecessor, end quote, was the reason Roe v. Wade was overturned, and Trump brags about it, although its overturning has caused chaos across the nation, the president said. Biden talked about COVID-19, saying that when he took office, the country was fearful, experiencing record job losses and a record spike in crime. Biden said Trump's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic is unforgivable. The president discussed beating the NRA by passing legislation banning assault weapons and high-capacity magazines while implementing universal background checks, among other issues. Representative August Pfluger, Texas 11, released his reaction to the president's speech addressing the nation on Thursday night, calling Biden's priorities, quote, radical, end quote, and offering his own priorities. Quote, President Biden discussed his radical priorities, including endless American dollars to left-wing priorities, abortion up until the point of birth, COVID-19, and climate change, end quote, Pfluger said in the release. Quote, Americans deserve a strong economy, a secure border, energy independence, and a national security posture that protects Americans at home and abroad. Unfortunately, this president has done everything he can to weaken our country, end quote. quote, despite the president's divisive remarks, I have a lot of hope for this country because I represent the best district in the entire United States. Texas 11 is the home to the best people who are working hard to raise their children, to serve, and be a part of the greatest country in history, end quote, Pfluger wrote. Life Tributes. Briley Mitchell, 3-9-1958 to 1-11-2024. Quote, living the dash, end quote. In loving memory of Briley Mitchell, a man devoted to his faith in Jesus Christ as well as to his family and his community. Briley was born in Electra, Texas, and grew up in Midland, Texas, where he attended Lee High School. Briley is preceded in death by his father, William Bill Mitchell, and his sister, Sandra Mitchell. He leaves behind his loving wife, Lavina, and their two daughters, Shyla and her husband, Bill Venable, and Roxanne and her husband, Kevin Rathch. His mother, Annie Jo, and his mother-in-law, Margot Abel, will hold him in their hearts forever. He will be missed by his grandchildren and great-grandchild, Jade Ambus and Lucy Tavira, Autumn Burrell, Scarlett Venable, and Margot Rathch. A graveside service will be held Saturday, March 9th at 3 o'clock p.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Kayla Rigney. Kayla Rigney, 35, of Midland, passed away March 2, 2024. The family will receive guests from 5 o'clock p.m. to 7 o'clock p.m. Tuesday, March 19, 2024, at the branch at Celebration of Life will be held at 1 o'clock p.m. Wednesday, March 20, 2024, at Stonegate Fellowship in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Mally Picklin Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Kayla Rigney. Kayla Rigney, 35, of Midland, passed away March 2, 2024. The family will receive guests from 5 o'clock p.m. to 7 o'clock p.m. Tuesday, March 19, 2024, at the branch at NPW. Celebration of Life will be held at 1 o'clock p.m. Wednesday, March 20th, 2024, at Stonegate Fellowship in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Howard shares MISD Governance Goal Progress Bond Information. Midland ISD Superintendent Dr. Stephanie Howard gave updates on the school district and shared goals for the future at a Midland Exchange Club meeting this week. Howard shared enrollment projections for the district and growth statistics. Since the last day of classes in December 2023, MISD enrollment has grown 75 students, and it has over 1,000 more students from this time a year ago, Howard shared. If the district continues to grow the way its demographic study projects, it will have over 32,000 students in the 2032-2033 school year. Quote, right now we're actually trending above the demographic study, so we're about 405 students over where the study suggested we would be this time this year, end quote, she said. Howard discussed Lone Star governance goals with the MISD board operates under. The two Lone Star governance goals are the percentage of third grade students who demonstrate grade level mastery by scoring at the meets grade level performance or above on the Reading Star assessment will increase from 36% to 50% by school year 2026. The percentage of third grade students who demonstrate grade level mastery by scoring at the meets grade level performance or above on the Math Star assessment will increase from 32% to 45% by the end of the school year 2026. Howard shared that students can, quote, approach, quote, meet, or, quote, master the STAR tests if a student scores, quote, approach, end quote, that is, still a passing score according to the state. The superintendent said the school district has made progress on these goals but still has work to do. As for the first Lone Star governance goal, 41% of third grade district students met grade level on the Reading Star assessment in 2023. The state average was 50%. 72% of district third grade students, quote, approached, end quote, grade level and still passed the STAR reading assessment. The state average was 76%, factoring in those students. Quote, you don't fix anything overnight, but we should be at state level or above. We serve students. Those demographic numbers I gave you are very similar to what students across the state look like, and so that is the goal that we have, and that's what we're working on day in and day out, end quote, she said. When it came to the Math STAR assessment, 38% of third grade district students met grade level in 2023. The state average was 45%. In MISD, 68% of those students at least approached grade level. The state average was 73%. Although some of the statistics are short of the state average, Howard was encouraged by growth in passing test scores during a year where the school district saw three different superintendents and 2023 being the first year of a new version of the STAR assessment. Quote, I think the fact that we saw growth, even when the test changed, is something that we're using as a baseline to build on. That's something that we can be glad that we didn't lose ground during a year with so much turnover and with the test changing, end quote, she said. The third and fourth Lone Star governance goals concern student academic growth. The percentage of fourth to eighth grade students who meet or accelerate their reading STAR progress measure will increase from 55% to 80% by the end of the school year 2026. The percentage of fourth to eighth grade students who meet or exceed their Math STAR progress measure will increase from 55% to 80% by the end of the school year 2026. In 2023, the district increased from the baseline statistic of 55% in the Reading STAR progress measure to 59%. The state average was 61%. When it comes to growth on the Math STAR progress measure, 64% of students progressed in MISD and in the state, Howard shared. The last governance goal concerns graduation rates, though recent legislation may change how the district measures graduation rates, according to Howard. The four-year graduation rate will increase from 89.7% of the graduating class of 2020 to 94% for the graduating class of 2026. In 2022, 85.8% of MISD students graduated in 4 years, compared to the state average of 89.7% in the same year. Howard, who wasn't in the district until 2023, said the COVID-19 pandemic caused lots of obstacles for the class of 2022 that could have reduced graduation rates. Students also could have found a job during that period and decided to not return to school, she mentioned. Howard also shared a project timeline for the 2023 MISD bond that was approved by voters in November. In 2024, the school district wants to plan, design, and start constructing a new elementary school, as well as continuing to plan and design two new high school campuses and a new middle school, while continuing to implement district-wide safety improvements.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, March 11th. Odessa Bar sued over alcohol-related crash. An Odessa bar is being sued by the parents of a 19-year-old man who was killed last September in an alcohol-related crash that also killed a 30-year-old woman. According to the lawsuit filed March 6th in Ector County District Court, Nicole Marie Stockdale was intoxicated when her Ford Fusion struck Eric Ernesto Garcia's Cadillac head-on in the northbound lanes of North Faudry Road on September 7, 2023. Garcia suffered blunt force injuries and carbon monoxide poisoning, and his body was burned beyond recognition, the lawsuit stated. Herbert and Blanca Garcia's lawyers allege Stockdale was overserved at Drink at the Spur, 6901 Cross B Road in Odessa, despite being obviously intoxicated. The Garcias are seeking more than $1 million in damages because he and his lawyers believe Drink at the Spur violated the state's Dram Shop Act by, quote, contributing to Nicole Marie Stockdale's state of intoxication by overserving her. The Garcias, through the Silva Law Group in Odessa, and the Mathis law firm in San Angelo are seeking damages for future loss of love, companionship, comfort, and society, pain and mental anguish, funeral costs, court costs, and physical pain and suffering. Lawsuit filed against skilled nursing facility. The story was written by Kim Smith. The son of an octogenarian has filed a lawsuit against a now-closed Odessa skilled nursing facility, alleging staff there failed to protect his mother from several sexual encounters. According to the lawsuit filed March 6th in Hector County District Court, Valerie Kerb was 84 and suffering from dementia when she was admitted to Orchard Park of Permian Basin in April 2021. On February 23, 2022, Kerb's son, Stephen Stafford, was informed his mother had been found alone in a room with another resident and, quote, some touch and touch had been going on, the lawsuit stated. On April 20th, 2022, the same man was found having sex with Stafford's mother, and on April 29th, 2022, Stafford's mother was found completely naked with the man, the lawsuit stated. Stafford filed a complaint with the Texas Health and Human Services Commission, and according to the lawsuit, agency investigators determined the facility staff failed to ensure Kerb was free from abuse, neglect, and exploitation, failed to ensure she didn't engage in unconsented sexual activity due to cognitive impairment, failed to update her service plan, and failed to report abuse, neglect, upon learning the resident had been found engaging in sexual activity without physician evaluation of resident's cognitive ability to consent. The lawsuit, which was filed by the Rosensky law firm in Dallas, also alleges the agency determined Kerb's needs weren't being met, so she was at risk for abuse, physical, and emotional injuries. Moreover, investigators determined she had been at risk of not having the incidents investigated in a timely manner. Stafford moved his mom to another skilled nursing facility in May 2022, according to the lawsuit. Headley Senior Care, which owned Orchard Park, is being sued for medical negligence and corporate negligence. Stafford is seeking unspecified damages for physical pain and mental anguish, past and future medical expenses, and physical impairment in the past and future. Invasive meningococcal outbreak. The story was written by Carol A. Cates, Chief Nursing Officer, Odessa Regional Medical Center. I have a running list in my head of diseases and conditions that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. Very high on that list is invasive meningococcal disease, or IMD. The reason goes back to college, years before I became a nurse. I was a resident advisor my sophomore year at Texas A&M. Yes, I am an Aggie. One of the girls on my floor one morning wasn't feeling well and didn't go to class. Her roommate came back to their room that afternoon and found her unconscious. The roommate came running for me, and together we called 911. The next morning, the girl died from meningococcal meningitis, a form of IMD. The health department came up and looked for everyone she may have exposed, and we all had to take antibiotics prophylactically. I still remember how stunned I was at the time. I couldn't wrap my head around a disease where someone was perfectly fine one day and dead the next. Even now, with all the experience I have in healthcare, IMD and the possibility it can become fatal so quickly is hard to fathom. That is why a recent health alert issued by the Texas Department of State Health Services about an increase in cases really caught my attention. IMD is a group of illnesses caused by the bacteria Neisseria meningitidis. The bacteria can live in the upper respiratory tract of people and cause no symptoms, but if it spreads to other systems, it can cause very serious illnesses, including sepsis, an infection that affects the entire body because bacteria are in the bloodstream, septic arthritis, infection in joints, and meningitis, an infection of the tissues that surround the brain and spinal cord, causing them to swell. That swelling can damage the brain and/or the spinal cord. In the U.S., rates of IMD have been low since the 1990s, when vaccines for this illness became available. However, rates outside the U.S. are much higher. About 1.2 million people around the world get IMD each year, and 135,000 of those cases are fatal. Statistically, the fatality rate for IMD is about 15%, and of those who survive, 20% have permanent disabilities. IMD can occur at any age, but it is most prevalent in children under age 1 and young people ages 16 to 23. IMD primarily follows a seasonal pattern, with most cases in the U.S. falling in January, February, and March. IMD is spread by sharing respiratory and throat secretions. It takes close contact with the secretions of an infected person, coughing or kissing, for example, or prolonged contact, people in the same household, for example, to spread IMD. If someone is diagnosed with IMD, those are the people who will also receive prophylactic preventative treatment for IMD. Symptoms of IMD need to be acted upon quickly because two forms of the disease can become extremely serious and even deadly in just a few hours. For meningococcal meningitis, the most common symptoms are fever, headache, and a stiff neck. Other symptoms can include nausea and/or vomiting, light sensitivity, photophobia, and confusion or other alterations in mental status. Babies with meningococcal meningitis may be slow or inactive, irritable, feeding poorly, and have a bulging anterior fontanelle, the soft spot on the top of the head. For meningococcal sepsis, symptoms include fever and chills, fatigue, vomiting, cold hands and feet, severe aches and pain in muscles, joints, chest, or belly, rapid breathing, diarrhea, and in late stages, a dark purple rash. If you or someone you love is showing symptoms of these conditions, it is crucial you seek medical care immediately. There aren't many better examples of the conventional wisdom saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, than IMD and the vaccine to prevent it. Since the vaccine came out in the 1990s, we have fewer than 1,000 cases a year in the U.S. With its 15% death rate, that calculates out to 150 people at most. Still far too many, but much improved over the years before the vaccine. I am extremely concerned as a healthcare professional that the increase we are seeing in cases is tied back to the vaccine reluctance that has been building over the last several years, especially since the pandemic. I am a very firm believer in choice when it comes to healthcare, but I also cannot stress this enough. Healthcare choices need to be made using credible sources, not social media. IMD alone is awful, but that it most commonly attacks babies and young people makes it even worse. Please speak to your primary healthcare provider about vaccination if your child has not been vaccinated. This is not a disease I would wish on anyone, least of all a child. It is a disease that can be prevented, and that prevention is far, far better than any cure when it comes to a disease that can kill in hours. Master Gardeners 2024 Spring Symposium. This was written by Master Gardeners Debbie Rowland and Emmy Olmschneider. The Master Gardener Spring Symposium is finally rolling out of the planning stages, and the date has been set. Our classes for this year will be taking on a whole new look with a spring and fall symposium and 4 classes spread throughout the year. Be sure and watch our website and Facebook for pop-up classes as well. Our spring symposium will be held this month, March 23rd, at the Midland AgriLife Extension Office. Details are below, and speaker information is as follows. Water in the Landscape with Emmy Olmschneider. Water, fresh water, and salt water has always been a major part of Emmy's life. Growing up around the Great Lakes, skating on frozen lakes in winter, and swimming in summer, she always took water for granted. Living in Bermuda and working on a research boat in the Bahamas taught her the true value of water and the importance of not wasting a drop. And those lessons were not forgotten when she moved to West Texas. Slowly, she put those lessons and lessons learned from other arid cities to work, planning the rain and trying to live more sustainably in her urban Midland home. Along the way, she found that she could welcome the natural beauty and native life that water on the Llano Estacado brings to a landscape. Emmy has been a master gardener since 2003. Flower Farming with Sarah Richardson. Sarah Richardson studied under Aaron Benzekine in 2016 at Floret Flower Farm in Skagit Valley, Washington State, then continued her studies under Lisa Mason Ziegler in 2018 in Newport, Virginia. After returning to the Permian Basin in 2018, she founded Audacious Flowers Farm, where she specializes in the production of cut flowers for profit to beautify the land and to provide a sanctuary for the local bees. She has formed a unique flower breeding program and hosts one of the largest trail gardens for flowers in the West Texas region. She is a third-generation Permian Basin Master Gardener and has been a proud member since 2014. Do You Know What Your Food Ate? With Deanne Yates. Deanne Yates is a fourth-generation farmer and rancher. She and her husband have farmed cotton, wheat, and vegetables and raised Hereford cattle in the West Texas community of Tarzan for 46 years. They, along with their children and grandchildren, have a passion for raising ethical food, fiber, and cattle. They integrate regenerative practices to improve the quality of life in the farmland, pastures, cattle, and crops. Their goal to improve the land and commodities they raise are generational. Their hope is to provide locally raised, ethically grown products that customers trust will help them achieve good health and regenerative energy. Deanne likes to hear customers say, "I want to know what I am eating." Her reply is often, "Do you know what your food ate?" Spring Symposium, date March 23rd. Time, 9:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Cost, $35, which includes lunch. Location, Midland AgriLife Extension Office, 2445 East Highway 80, Midland, Texas. How to register? Go to Facebook/ Permian Basin Master Gardeners or online at westtexasgardening.org. We expect this class to fill up, so be sure and reserve your spot. We all look forward to seeing you. If you have questions, call the AgriLife office in Odessa at 498-4071 or in Midland at 686-4700. Additional information at our blog for access to past articles is available at westtexasgardening.org. Click on Resources.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.